Live from Los Angeles, this is The Bachelor Masters. I don't really know what to say, Easier. I think we have differing opinions on this episode. That was so bizarre and wonderful of an episode.
We are watching the same show. That's crazy. They showed the same clip, a future clip, twice. Now, if that's not an indication of content,
let me roll this
thing.
The guys are the poorest quality of any reality group of people in history.
That's where I, you
Dude,
know,
Lindsay Lohan's Beach Club had better looking people than these guys.
Once I saw them with better lighting, in living color, moving around, a lot better looking stock of guys than the green goblin pictures that they came out with.
Okay, first. And she inexplicably eliminated the best couple guys and gave roses to guys that, I mean, whatever. We could do a whole show on John Paul Jones. And
she did not cut John Paul Jones, though.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, she gave it to him, and she didn't give it to old Matt Donald.
Or airline pilot from Michigan.
Oh, he seemed like
a classy dude. There's lots of true crime serial killer podcast that John Paul Jones would be great for.
Yeah.
He looks like the clown Pennywise from It.
He's definitely a supervillain look to him. But, you know, we're going back to the same tropes we were talking about last time. Just because he looks like a trope doesn't mean he's the worst guy. We don't know. Could be a murderer. He does.
Well,
look, he
looks way too much like James Vanderbeek. I just can't unsee it. And I have some thoughts on some things I can't unsee about Hannah as well. I probably shouldn't say, but we'll end up saying. So I agree with you that the show doesn't look to be structurally all that exciting based on the previews for the future and the cream of the guys and all that kind of stuff like that. But this particular episode was amazing. It was so outside of what we've come to expect, particularly of a first episode. There was so much like weird stuff going on. Hannah is a total trip. I don't know. I could go on and on. If we do this podcast to deconstruct the social experiment that is the high pressure environment of the Bachelor Mansion, then I think we have a ton of fodder, don't you think?
No, I have two. There are little things here there that happened, but it was all pretty by the book. You tell me what you, maybe this will be a turn where instead of you're normally
prodding. Instead of your list, it's my list?
Yeah, because per usual, I did not find anything on this episode. And, you know, I do the playback that you don't do, but the first 10 minutes and the last five and a lot of little pieces in between are actually things we've already seen.
Yeah. So yeah, I was worried when it first started because they just were replaying content from the reunion when they went to Alabama, but they got through that pretty quickly.
But a third of the show is things we've already seen. And then the rest was anticipatory. It just, you know, it's a first episode. That's typical. But you'd think they would have updated it by now.
I can't believe this. I can't believe the tables have turned here between the two of us.
Well, you know how I feel about first episodes, night ones. So there's that. I'm going to come in with an inherent bias. And I was excited about the recon mission that they put the Demi and Katie up to, but it didn't turn out to be that exciting.
Watched a different version of the show. Maybe you were on our unofficial sponsor Hulu playback. Maybe you were watching like a previous cut of the episode, you watched the director's cut and I watched the broadcast edit.
Yeah, I wish I would have seen something a little shorter, a little snappier, but I definitely do feel like I watched the director's cut. I want the syrupy short, give me the information, but I watched like this extended, really boring thing. You know, I thought what they were going to do, which I thought would have been so smart, was Demi and Katie were going to park the van and listen to their conversations when Hannah wasn't around. see if they're for real.
Right, right.
And that's an awesome idea. Remember Becca's season, Raven had to be there.
Yeah.
And they had to do something similar. And it was a little ridiculous.
Simi's that friend that everyone has that's like better looking than you and like has more sexual energy. And you can go one of two ways. You can either like decide you don't want to be friends with that person because you don't want the competition, or you can decide to be friends with that person because you're going to learn a thing or two and probably end up dating more people because that just draws you into that scene.
I totally do have friends like that. And that's funny you say you compare it to that because I didn't even think of that, but I was thinking Demi's more like a Kramer. Because you want her around.
Right, yeah.
To say the thing that is just right on and break any bad news to anybody. She's the one who finds out things before you even know where you're stepping into. So she's definitely like another one of these, she breaks the mold and she introduces you to a lot of things. You're like, oh yeah, I should have known about that. Or I wouldn't have gone to that great party if it wasn't for Demi.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, definitely. She's fun like that. But you know, that doesn't last. That gets old pretty fast too. I mean, it's a good friend for The Bachelor.
Oh my gosh. Well, look, a couple things. Just get this out of the way now. The first is that everyone's favorite past contestant, Orange Robbie, is back in the news. After making out with Sheena on Vanderpump Rules on the top of the U.S. Bank Tower in downtown L.A. This season of Vanderpump Rules. He is now dating Juliet from Siesta Key on MTV.
Okay.
I'll just leave that there. I was into the show its first season. I completely gave up on it the second season. It's just deteriorated completely.
That reminds me, whatever happened to that Alabama show that was supposed to be like Jersey Shore, but it's like
Alabama. It's on. It's called Florida Bama. Yeah, just Florida Bama or something like that. It's basically Jersey Shore, but taking place right at the confluence of Florida and Alabama at beach there. I watched a few episodes over the last couple of years and didn't do anything for me.
It doesn't have the Jersey Shore had such enigmatic characters. I'm not being facetious. I really think they're interesting people, which is way different. It's so hard to get a group like that together.
Yeah. And then the other thing is, as our listeners know, as you know very well, EZR, I'm very proud of our non-corporate, non-network status here as the Bachelor Masters. And I tend to be a little hard on the corporate podcasts.
Yeah.
So the corporate podcast.
Not really.
Brought to us by
The Ringer. Them. Oh, right.
Well, I talk about them a lot. Yeah. It's because I'm jealous deep down of all that was handed to them before they even started broadcasting.
That's true.
We have to work from the ground up.
Yeah. We're like YouTubers.
Take pity on us. Yeah. The big one is Bachelor Party, and brought to us by The Ringer. And they have all the guests, right? All the past contestants come on the show every week. But they went way out of their way. On last night's episode that they posted, the guest is somebody who has been out of the limelight, does not seek attention, is not thirsty, isn't craving the spotlight, and certainly wasn't on the reunion episode trying to weasel his way back onto the camera. None other than Nick Viall.
Ugh. I thought you were being serious.
No. I'm just not going to listen to it. I mean, I'm putting my money where my mouth is, right? I'm voting with my podcast listen.
Yes.
I don't support him. I think he's a weirdo, and I'm not going to listen to it. See, but the problem is when you're a corporate podcaster, you're in that frame, you can't say no to Nick Viall wanting to be your guest. Somebody says, hey, Nick Viall should be our guest. They set it up. You got to do it. But we could say no because we don't.
Well,
we're not
you could also be rough on him.
Yeah, we don't have to answer to our creditors.
He was so unpopular when he was chosen as the Bachelor that they had to do a mini press tour. Do you remember that?
Yeah,
that I've never seen that before. Where they had to basically have people take out their aggression on him while he was driving around an ice cream truck, something weird like that. It was so. It was, you know, that is a level of like when you reconstruct a person's persona.
Yeah.
That I've never seen. I mean, you shouldn't have to do that.
Yeah. What? So anyway, there you go, Bachelor Party. You just got one less listen last night than the millions you probably get every week anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, that's why voting with a dollar doesn't work. Oh, we're going to boycott Amazon for their questionable labor practices. Oh, okay. So 5 people out of 100 million don't purchase something this week.
So, all right. Whatever. Well, it can. It depends. But anyway, I'm glad you kind of said this thing about podcasts, because I've noticed that in my local, syndicated local shows, some of them are syndicated, because our iHeartRadio owns so many radio stations and now does podcasts.
Yeah, yeah.
They have to bring these podcasters on to regular radio to get older people. And the thing is, too, is that because podcasters have their own format or do whatever they want, when they're brought on radio, first off, the radio people, are jealous and annoyed that they have to share any time. And then, more importantly, the podcaster tends to be finally kind of debated or something happens. And so I heard this guy on our local right wing radio station.
Was it Alex Jones? No.
This
you're talking about KFI.
He's not on radio. I'm talking about KFI. Yeah. 640. Yeah.
Ken and whatever.
John and Ken. Oh, oh no. He was on Bill Handel. No, don't get me started. I know too many parents that, regurgitate John and Ken talking points. And you're like, you really just want to talk about what they just said. And I, to the day, they just said that today, and then I'll talk to them at 7 p.m. and they just heard John and Ken, I can tell. But anyway, no, he was on Bill Handel. And Bill Handel, who's, he's right. He's center. He destroyed this guy that has a podcast because the guy's not used to being challenged at all. Ever.
Right.
So it was great in a lot of ways because these people are kind of, it's like if we went on some kind of master bachelor debate forum, and then what would happen to us?
They would love us.
Yeah, we wouldn't. Yeah, we're persona non grata.
We liked The Bachelor. What's going on?
Yeah, exactly.
Why do you do a show on The Bachelor when you clearly have all these problems? That's the point.
Yeah, okay, I get that all the time too. People don't believe I'm a fan, though.
I guess I know you well enough to know you actually secretly are. I was on the bus, my bus to work yesterday. Uh-huh. And for the first time ever, I saw. So you know how they have these full size ads on the sides of buses?
Yes.
It was an ad for a podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Glenn Close, I guess, has a new podcast. It was hers.
Oh, yeah.
So, can you imagine?
That's crazy.
Maybe someday there'll be a Bachelor Masters ad.
God. Well. Anyway, podcast. Yeah.
All right, let's get back to this here. What is Craig like about this episode in 10 easy bullet points? Is that what we're doing?
10?
I don't know. I don't have anything written. Recently I've been writing stuff down, but not this time. I'm just going to go off my memory.
I have three things to say, but it was pretty bad.
Do you want me to go first? How are we doing this?
Go ahead.
Do we say the normal disclaimer that Hannah chose to be on the show? She's a public figure. She knows what she was getting into. She's an adult that made her own decision. So that is why we feel we have the agency to criticize not only what she says, but how she looks. We've done this before.
Yeah, we do it all the time. And, it's good.
Does me talking about her count as a fashion roundup? Play the drop anyway.
This is the Fashion Roundup.
Craig likes to talk about what people are wearing.
Yeah, I haven't heard that in a little while.
Okay. Yeah.
I know you love that. I don't really have anything to say about what she's wearing. It was a very cool dress, but I really shouldn't say this. We're going to lose listeners.
Do it.
I started seeing her face as a pumpkin.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't not see it as a pumpkin anymore.
Okay, to add to that a little bit, I think I said last season that she has a very 3D face that works way better in real life than on TV. And one thing I realized was seeing all the recap of her life again is that there's something about pageants. You just see them for a few minutes and it's fine. But then if you really were to let's just say a pageant took as long as a Bachelor season. All these people's looks and faces would fall apart. I feel like literally, like melt off because it's so weird. The pomp and circumstance. No, the like.
Yeah, the pageantry.
The pageantry, right? But no, there's something else. I'm not trying to say the like. Oh, they're dressing up. They wear these makeup. They have evening gowns. Oh, there's little kid pageants. No, something else is weird about pageant people's faces.
The lighting is much different on stage. Your face, it looks like clay. They put on tons of foundation. They contour their faces so it looks really, really good under bright lights on the stage.
But there's also this kind of, you know, where am I getting? Well, there's a reason we only know, I only can think of one pageant person's name. Only one. Like, why aren't Victoria's Secret models pageant people or the other way around? You know, they're very different faces and very different attributes. The only person I can think of ever, I mean, tell me if you can think of someone else that's ever been in a pageant or that is famous is Vanessa Williams. Mm. And she's an outlier in a lot of ways with lots of things, right? She's also a singer. Yeah, can you think of another pageant person?
Well, I don't know her name, but the Miss South Carolina that did Therefore Such As The Iraq, Americans.
She's not famous for anything else.
You know, I think occasionally I'll run into an actress or something that was in a pageant. But see, one thing I wanted to mention, they a couple times on the show last night, they referred to her as Miss Alabama. Now, it's my understanding that the Miss USA network or pipeline, which is what she was in, is not and cannot be referred to as Miss Alabama, Miss California. It's always, you have to put USA at the end. Miss Alabama, USA. Because the Miss Alabama, the Miss California, those are reserved by the Miss America pageant, which is a much older pageant. So I'm surprised they even let that through, because I'm surprised that the Miss America pageant wouldn't come after them and be like, look, you got to clear this up because we reserve those names. Yeah. And I've met, I made out with a Miss Massachusetts USA.
You told us this, Craig.
Yeah. Very quick. It went nowhere. It was like on spring break kind of thing. But she was, you know, she would refer to herself as Massachusetts USA. It just was part of the thing. Now, you can't blame the guys for calling her Miss Alabama because they don't probably know one way or another. But I think she referred to herself as Miss Alabama or something.
Yeah, you know, just to take you down a peg there, Craig. Miss USA, we should reiterate, I think we've said it before, it's just kind of a money-making scheme.
Yeah, well, it was owned by Donald Trump.
It's owned by Donald Trump. Remember that episode of Always Sunny where they think, where's the money? Oh, let's make a pageant.
Yeah, exactly. Miss America is much more about charity and philanthropy than the USA pipeline, for sure. Yeah, no. I'm not taking it away from her. It's still competitive.
It is competitive, but it's its own different kind of culture.
Well, they have their different looks too. I think the USA pipeline is the younger women, more the Hannah and the Demi types. Demi wasn't part of it, but that sort of type. Miss America is more poised and posture and older women.
And they tend to something to do with something academic, right?
Miss America. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think you win a scholarship. You don't. Straight up money or something like that. Well, anyway, I think we're getting a lot off track.
Okay.
I can't believe I just said that. That's what we do. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Her face, it's different when we're seeing it from multiple angles on the camera than we would if we were seeing her in a pageant. I think that's what you're trying to say, right?
Yeah, yeah. So you're saying she looks like a pumpkin head.
I'm not saying she's not very attractive. And we all have our types. But it does look like a pumpkin. You know, I'm very critical of women's makeup or how much they put on. Like in the very beginning of the episode, they repeated the scene when she's walking down the street in Tuscaloosa. That they showed it during the reunion, and she runs into some past friend, and she's much shorter than her, and she's wearing like a purple something.
Yeah,
and she has so much makeup. See, I think Hannah does a good job with her makeup, but she lays it on real thick with her foundation. And
yeah.
There were a few.
Well, she has a lot of acne. I think we've noticed before. The new girls, you know, I must just be old, but I can tell when something's already dated. The girl that walks in, because now girls are putting white makeup on the, like if you're wearing glasses, where the bridge of the glasses are, they're putting this white makeup there to kind of, I'm guessing, make it look like you have more whites in your eyes, or maybe there's some, you know, aesthetic trick, but they're putting too much on. So all I see is this bright, it looks like little tiny LED lights next to your eyeballs, closer to your nose. And it's really strange. And I think they're just overdoing it because there must be some optical trick to why people are doing this, but it throws me off every time I see it.
I think we're being fair and thoughtful here. I'm really trying not to be mean. There's no reason to be mean to Hannah at this point. The last thing I guess I would say, I tweeted this. It drove me a little bonkers the way that she had done her hair or whatever the stylist did her hair is that it was really heavy on that one side. And she kept tilting her head She didn't want to keep putting her hand up to push it back, so she would compensate by tilting her head to the side to keep it off out of her eye. That drove me a little bonkers.
Well, I definitely did not notice that. And I notice when people's mannerisms are a little heavy-handed just to be cute, but I didn't see that. I thought I saw her being genuine a little bit. I'm excited for her dresses this season. So we're kind of talking about her, but I like that she's supposed to be a very serious candidate. That they keep kind of emphasizing that and making sure we get that across. I guess they've all been recently, but we have our huge, huge outliers. I guess the first night always makes me feel really empty because, especially now, more so than before. How many
because of the guys
here?
He chose?
Well, no, not whether it's the guys or the... No, before. Even when you're just watching the pre-taped Here I Am at Home contestant reels. You know, how many of these guys are here to become a bachelor? You know, that box guy, I'm sure, what? He wants orders? I mean, you know, you can't really advertise that you make boxes.
And he got
it's not
cut.
A big deal.
That was a good
he
cut.
He got cut. Yeah. But it just feels a little too, you know, that you'd think they'd find a way to kind of get around this, at least get around this feeling, because they can't get around what a contestant's going to do, but they can get around editing around that and having people feel more genuine. And, you know, this goes back to kind of your theory about, you were saying that the reason they picked Hannah was to kind of reach out to this demographic that they're slowly losing to social media.
Yeah, college or just after college aged.
Yeah. So the problem with getting young people to like this show now, and I see this on Instagram all the time, all these people are doing is looking up all these guys and even reaching out to their family members and finding out little things, not just what happened with Demi, but any little thing. And so it's dangerous to get these kinds of people as fans because they're going to see right through your whole operation. And I don't think if that is the case, then that's a bad idea. And if it's not, they should really, I don't know, tie up any loose, the Bachelor producers need to do a better job, or maybe they just need to get younger at being better about this because I don't want to see it, and I see it. Imagine that that's a big deal for people who are watching the show and are just frustrated.
Well, we talked about spoilers in depth in our reunion episode.
Yes.
Didn't it help that they showed these clips that really spoke to what you're talking about? One guy, when they were at home and they were showing these like cell phone videos like of their days before heading to Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And one guy was like, you know, my family and I have watched The Bachelor since the first season. That doesn't help. And then this is my party the night before I go to LA. All my friends and family, they're sending me off. It makes it more reality TV than right. Like, I don't need to see that because it just reminds me that this is all a big production.
It feels like the family already knows what it's for. And anytime they try to counter that, it points it out even. Every time the Bachelor producers try to counter the fact that this is why people are going on, it makes it more obvious to someone like me. Demi pointing it out, Scott, right, is the name that one I got cut, probably said, oh, it's going to be great for me if I go on and I'll come back to you and then we'll go on a trip to get away from all the, I don't know, because I'll be rich, basically, or I'll have more money. And that kind of stuff, just because she eliminated, it feels like you killed one cockroach. Like, it just points out that there's so many there.
Yeah.
So I don't feel reassured. Yeah, right.
That's a whole thing, too, this whole Scott situation. Oh, boy.
I don't want to be cynical about the show anymore, but that segment was so overproduced. I thought it, like I said, I thought it was going to add some mystery to the show, but it didn't. It just made it a little bit more formulaic.
I'm really conflicted about the argument, but actually less about how the show presented it, more about what they actually said to each other. I kind of go different directions. Let me rewind a little bit. I don't even know where to begin. What? So on our countdown episode a couple weeks ago, I had mentioned that there was rumors that a few guys were going to get kicked off the first episode due to social media. That was the rumor going around. I mean, this is that, except, you know, obviously it's just one person. So the rumors were kind of right. Somebody did get kicked off because of social media. So good job, reality Steve or whatever. Years and years and years ago, I got some good advice from people. Obviously, you know, you're trying to enter the world. One piece of advice is it's not getting your first job, it's quitting your first job. Have you ever heard that?
No, I never heard that.
Like, that's the real challenge, is quitting your first job. Because, you know, you get your first job, you're really excited. Obviously, it's very difficult to get, especially in this day and age, to get your first job. But it can be very abusive if it's not the right fit. Not because anyone's necessarily abusing you, but if it's not a good environment for you, it can get real toxic. And I wasn't doing really well on this one job I had, so I quit. And that was a really transformative experience for me. I now learned what it's like to quit a job. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. I actually have the same experience, but yes. That's good advice after the fact.
This was at a printing company in the Bay Area. There's lots of six-color process commercial printers in Burlingame on the peninsula near San Francisco. Mm. What was yours?
Well, I mean, it wasn't my first job, but it was the first job I ever had to quit. It was a, I think we talked about this, like a very abusive non-union job that, you know, it was at a charter school, so they would deny kids with disabilities entry to the school. They wanted everyone in their seats because every time a kid goes to school in a charter school, they have to be there every day or else the school doesn't get any money. So it was all for profit. And I was like, this is not.
In Iowa, where I've lived and talked about from time to time, they believe in public education. So the taxpayers of Iowa fund public education. They have one of the best, if not the best, education systems. Anyway. Uh-huh. So that just kind of prefaces this other piece of advice that I got, which is I was talking to this mentor I had at the time. I'm going to quit this job. What do I do? He said quitting a job or breaking up with somebody, just do it. Don't go into lengthy explanations about why you're doing it. It's in our nature to, if we're going to quit a job, to just go into this lengthy explanation about why you're quitting to your boss or whatever. But it's best to just say, you know what, this isn't working out. I had some problems with communication, but I'm quitting. And, you know, they might have a question or two. You just go. Breaking up is obviously more complicated because there's emotions and obviously personal life experiences. But it's not going to lead to good things going into deep elaborations as to why you're breaking up or quitting. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Thank you. On the one hand, Hannah poking at Scott led him to admit that this had happened. Because at first he was, oh yeah, I was kind of seeing this girl. She texted me on Monday. She poked more and he's like, okay, you're right. We texted, which implied that it's true that he had promised that he'd come back to her. But at the same time, the advice that I was given is just like, she should just cut him. You're cut. And that would have been it. It wouldn't have been as good television, obviously. But that, I think, would have been the more proper thing to do. But she just kept making an argument out of it, which I was a little conflicted about.
I can give you a little bit of insight on that, only because I have the same attitude you did at first. I could be cynical about this and say, you're supposed to think she's vulnerable. Or I could be a little bit of an optimist about this and say, she's so vulnerable and so she's so insecure about being there that her looking or digging for an explanation is explaining how she actually is very, very scared and insecure and trying to find out why and who, you know, because you'll dig yourself into a hole. It's like depression begets depression. You just kind of keep going deeper. So this is interesting to bring up because I felt from the first season and just the little tiny piece we saw of Hannah actually interacting with the contestants is that I feel this might be one of those I like that you like me seasons. Mm-hmm. Because right after that, the guy that goes and confronts her and doesn't confront her, I mean, confronts her, that goes and comforts her and doesn't comfort her very well either.
Right, doesn't give her his jacket.
Yeah. That we'll talk about that. That's the one thing I want to talk about. she picks him, and I felt is because, again, it's kind of the guy that comes right after will look so much better after you've been rejected, even if it's not a real rejection. That was kind of more of a, it's undermining her trust for sure, but that's not under rejection. So she might be dealing with, and I really don't like dealing with people that are like that or watching seasons that are like that, because if you're watching an insecure person on TV do things kind of incorrectly, then what hope is there for us who are just normal non-TV people? It makes me even more like, oh, this is rough to watch. And I think we were talking about this with Becca's season. I totally felt that way. I kind of felt that way with Colton in general, except he has the man's version of that. He feels he deserves the best. even though why?
Yeah, I think you're right on to say that she was working out in real time what this all means to her and how she fits into it. She did poke and prod kind of unnecessarily, but that was her way of trying to figure it out. And you could tell she was trying to figure it out. And you're right, it was more broad than just this Scott guy. It was the whole experience in general.
Do you think that maybe a little bit of her insecurity could come from the fact that she might be thinking, or maybe we're thinking, or maybe the men are thinking, or everybody, how many men came on here for Kaylin and got her?
I would have turned around and walked away if it was Kaylin.
Yeah, but I don't think that's the case for, if you, it's so interesting to me. I mean, we have like a Jesus moment later, but I actually, right. You know, I'm not a fan of Kaylin at all. But I looked at her Instagram because I just wanted to see how many followers she had. And it's a lot. But
right.
her Instagram is, you know, one of the in the bio section has a Bible verse. But mm-hmm. then her Instagram is all her in the smallest bikinis you ever saw.
Right.
And, you know, there has to be, like, she talks about it later. There doesn't have to be a direct, you know, it's not a big deal to read the Bible in your bikini or whatever, but you know, I'm not trying to shame her into anything, but that is so, how far have we come from a time from 10 years right. ago when that was looked as hypocritical and now
well,
it's not.
Well, as Hannah
it's
said,
yes,
Jesus I've had doesn't sex love me less. Jesus still loves me.
Yeah. I'm not criticizing it. I'm just interested in how, up front that can be now, and it's basically no big deal.
Yeah, as long as you repent, then you can go back to being saved.
It used to be don't need to repent, and now it's that's okay. They're incongruent. You don't need right. you don't need to be ashamed about this.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is
there's
fine,
no need
but
to
I'm
repent.
Interested.
Yeah.
Why has you know, obviously something's changed, but it's not like much has changed within Christian society. So
right.
What's the part that's changed? Just a younger demographic, like, or the new demographic?
Religion's always been kind of pick and choose.
Sure, sure.
Going to your point, it struck me that, because right after that whole thing with Scott, she sat down with, I think it was the guy with the sweaty forehead. Well, anyway, she started talking about what had happened. And it occurred to me that typically, we always criticize the guys that talk about other guys or the women that talk about other women to the bachelor or bachelorette. Someone will say, I have to tell Colton about Caitlin.
Oh, something. Yeah.
Now, obviously, this just happened to her, but she was doing that as the bachelorette. I thought that was funny. Like you said, I think you used the words, what did you just say? You said,
I like that you like me.
Yeah, she's going to be the one talking about other guys to the guys, which could get real interesting. But I, you know, she kind of does it.
I guess I didn't really notice.
I'm probably putting more on it than really just happened in that conversation. But it just occurred to me that that could be a thing that happens, and that would be interesting to watch.
Oh, okay.
Okay, one more thing on the Scott. Come on, it was the coolest thing ever. But he was like, well, you were just in love with Colton.
Oh, yeah. You can always tell a liar by how they deflect.
But still, that was the coolest thing ever. Okay, everyone listening watched the show, so I don't need a recap, but just to rephrase it, she was like, you can't just have been with somebody on Monday and then be here and telling me you're here for me. And he's like, well, you were just with Colton, loving him and getting ready to be engaged, and now you're here. That is totally different.
Yeah.
I want two pages by Hannah turned in explaining how it's different. Well, I was on a network reality television show.
The fact that she said that negates the whole point of this entire show. So, because she was what, fourth? It's interesting enough. She was really close to the fantasy suites, but either way, fantasy suites were non-existent on that season.
So. Well, kudos to him, Scott, because he went from just being remembered as, like, you know, just this wannabe player type to being the guy who called her out for having been in love with Colton. Will he ever be able to get a date again? We'll have to wait and see.
Now, not to talk about looks again, but if there's any of, like, the more plain below whatever middle of the road guys, like he would not have made it far anyway. Why he was picked or whatever. I mean, if that's some kind of standard, if there was the same standard for women that there are for men on these shows, you would get a lot more different types of women on, which is what kind of bugs me, is that the kinds of men that are on this, especially the ones that get cut night one and week one and week two, are just kind of like, those are guys you can throw a rock out the window and hit one. Like, there's nothing to them. So physically, I don't know. Was he some kind of computer wizard or something? Well, there you go.
Didn't he show her the plans for their house? Wasn't that Scott?
Oh, no. He was just using that as a, he knew she was an interior, was training to be an interior designer. So he's just like, look.
Yeah.
Okay. The only thing that stood out to me about this whole episode, because the Demi Katie thing was a big letdown, was the coat that Luke did not offer Hannah.
I get a little confused here. There's Luke who got the first impression rose, right?
That's him. Yeah.
Because there's two Lukes, right? Okay. Hetero moving forward. When we say Luke, we're always referring to Luke, the first impression rose Luke.
I'm going to call him Blue Luke for now because he had a blue suit. I don't know. I don't know who the other Luke
is. Can't even think of who the other Luke. Okay.
Yeah.
So about Luke real quick. Didn't Luke say that he was banging all these women all those years and then Jesus talked to him in the shower and now he's religious?
Have you ever? Now, Craig, when that happened, one time I was on, I don't know, 2 days and 2 hours sleep. And you know me, I don't do drugs. And I remember I had to get in the shower. And I really thought the water was speaking to me because I could hear, it was so loud.
Yeah, you get you get auditory hallucinations when you don't sleep, for sure.
Yeah. And I would never confuse that with a religious experience. I was just,
what, dying. Had he said he was on a bender or something?
No, he just said that he was in the shower and he heard it speak to him.
Because he was partying, didn't go to sleep, and then he had a Jesus moment.
Yeah, that's
okay. Well, I have stayed up multiple days in a row because of substances, and sure, I can tell you it gets real frightening and intense.
Yeah, I believe it.
The auditory, like, you're walking down the street and you think people are talking about you that are walking across the street. It's really creepy.
Yeah, like you turn on a blow dryer and you can hear, and you listen for too long and you start, it's almost like you're looking at someone upside down and you start forming words out of things that aren't really there, and then you hear the same repetitive noises. It'll drive you crazy, but that doesn't, I mean, then something's wrong with this guy, because that, you know, I'm not going to confuse that for anything that it's not.
Okay, well, we could go on and on about that. So Luke does not give his jacket to Hannah. And if you follow our Instagram account, you know that this upsets EZR because she runs the Instagram account, and you tweeted about this, or sorry, you didn't tweet about this. You Instagrammed this post this morning about this.
Yeah. And I was thinking about doing it last night because it kind of annoyed me. I mean, okay. So I guess it comes down to a question of chivalry and femininity and how important is it anymore, or does it matter? But when someone says that to you twice, I would offer my coat, you know,
or at least offer to go get her coat or something.
Right. Yeah. Right. And it has a lot to do with caring.
It's like a default thing to say. You would just say something. You say, do you want my coat? Can I go get you a coat? Yeah. You would just say that. Anyone with a remote amount of politeness would say that. Yeah.
Yes. And let's just take away the gender norms aspect of it. He did sit her down by the fire, but there was no care.
Right.
And I guess as a prospective partner, or in this case, husband, and she's from the South, you could assume that she's expecting a little bit of chivalry. As a parent, I think it's just in you. And, you know, a lot of people who will be parents probably is in them too. And that's why they know they'd be a good parent. It's just symbolic of a care someone could give. So despite gender norms, that bothered me so much. And the fact that she gave him the first rose shows me a little bit that she is not as worried about someone. She likes that he likes her, but does he really? And, you know, then we see the future, whatever, the this season on The Bachelorette, what's going to happen. And then Luke has a big part in it. But, you know, I wasn't trying to tell what guy was what. I don't like doing that to myself. I like just living the season and not watching the future clip show or whatever. But who he is going to come out for sure. But that to me is... I cut that guy right there. I would not have gone forward. Like, it doesn't have to be a male thing either. I would accept a jacket if I was cold, and I would give one if someone else was cold.
Right.
And right. But there is questions of chivalry and femininity, which, you know, if women didn't do the little things women do, and I'm talking about very edge of the spectrum women, obviously, you know, on both an edge of the spectrum men, when those two people are looking for each other. And I'm not trying to discount anyone in the middle of the feminine male spectrum, but I'm just talking about these two kinds of people. When they look for each other, some of the things they're subconsciously looking for are those little details of them doing those things that a little bit conform to their gender, but also have to do with why women and men are different. And I think that's, you know, if she's not looking for that for herself, then I'm worried about her.
Yeah, it goes right back to the guys that she cut. Okay, so John Paul Jones, the serial killer, is the producer's pick. That's fine. But that still doesn't mean that she had to cut Michigan pilot guy, who seemed up and down a good person and was not bad to look at. Although she did keep around, the first rose went to the international basketball player.
Well, Mike, yes.
He's a good-looking dude.
Cool, yeah. And he had a little reel at the beginning. So, yeah. But they always try to throw you off with those because they cut Matt Donald, who I thought was a good guy. You know, that's not my type at all.
He was the guy from...
Long guy, but...
Los Gatos.
Yeah, yeah. Is that near you? Near old you?
Yep, my very first date ever in high school was with...
The real Gatos? The little... That's
no, with someone who went to Los Gatos High School, yeah.
Oh, no, I'm just kidding with you. Because California, there's a lot of names that are in Spanish. So
yeah, well, it means the cats.
That means the cats, which is so cute to me. And then there's also Los Baños, which is the bathrooms.
Yeah,
I don't know that is.
Los Baños is, yeah, you have to go through it if you are heading to the Bay Area from Los Angeles.
That's so funny to me. Why would they name that? There's also kind of...
Well, it's because that's where you stop to go to Los Baños.
I know.
I actually went to a Chinese restaurant in Los Baños once. Well, Los Gatos is a very affluent part of Silicon Valley. And, of course, Silicon Valley is itself very affluent. So that kind of tells you something.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's who they cut. And a weird gap tooth guy that had a horrible picture. And then in real life, he was kind of sleepy looking. And there was another sleepy guy that was saying, I can't believe, why would you cut me? And, you know, whoever.
He's like, it's going to be so hard to date again after this.
Yeah.
You have something else, right? You said you had two things. That was one.
That was it. That's all
I
got.
Do you have a clip or something?
Oh, my clip was just how slowly she talks. Not really a big deal. You'll cut me off as I'm playing it.
It's really important for me to find a man that will love me for all of me. Bless the man who spends forever with me because I'm so much to handle. But what I want to give somebody is really
cut me off, Craig.
I'm nervous, but I've got to be completely myself. And the desire of my heart is to find love. I'm doing.
So, oh my God. So
that's a lot of vocal fry. If Chris were here, he would go right after that vocal fry.
It's not just the vocal fry. It's the lack of periods and who gave her a mic without questions. Now, this
was that her speech or was that during an interview?
She's showing off or she's showing Alabama. And then she has voiceover where she's explaining what it means to be the Bachelorette. But you know this about me, Craig. I don't normally speak on the radio. I'm actually a producer for this one small show, but it's been running for 12 years. Now, when I ask a question, because I tend to not be on air, I tend to just be the producer and I'm the board op for a radio program. When someone starts talking like that, they're looking at their phone or they're doing something else.
Right. Yeah.
They're not concentrating.
Yeah, they're thinking about the next thing to say.
When someone does that, I tend to cut them off and start them all over and say, now here's the two things you said in that 5-minute version. Give me a 30-second version.
Yeah.
Because you can't keep a sentence going like that. So that means that's the best they got. This is super hard to deal with when you have a lead.
But it's real.
I can't tell you. Okay, Craig. If I was in any kind of position where I'm saying a sentence and then I keep it going and I don't know where I'm going with my sentence. Even on this podcast,
I do some light edits before I post it. And
sure.
I have things that I don't like about what I say and I clip those. But one thing that you do is you'll start off saying something and then you'll cut yourself off and then rephrase it.
Yeah.
And I keep some of those in and I take some of those out because I know it doesn't serve anyone to have to hear that reset. So I just will cut it right where you want to start it.
But if you edit it, it's different than if I would edit it, right?
Because right,
I probably edit myself different. A lot more. I pointed that out to you a long time ago and I know you'd noticed it before, but I don't like that about myself. But that's because right. I'm trying to get to the point quicker. Whereas yeah. This is the opposite problem. So I don't know how I'm going to deal with a lot of how do you teach someone to reevaluate how to think?
It is that's curious because of the amount of producer intervention that we've come to expect. It is curious that they wouldn't have made a more clean edit or cut take or whatever.
Let me tell you my plan B. Say I have an interview and I can never get access to that person again. I will cut all the pauses or I'll speed up the word.
Yeah.
So that, and even though it sounds produced, I'll still do that because I don't want a bunch of empty spaces like that. Now they put a lot of music in the background to kind of even it out or to make it fuller. But this is, they have access to her. They can redo it and give her a script. I'm just really confused as to why they picked her, why this whole thing.
Well, I remember this, I guess, would have been years ago. NPR came under fire for, there was never an there was never a in any of their material because they would meticulously edit their shows. And I worked for an NPR station. Now, that's not NPR. It was an NPR affiliate.
Right,
but
right.
Even up, man, we would edit everything meticulously. So it all sounded perfect. And they came under fire because the argument was that they were representing American voice as being perfect. It's not much different than airbrushing a model.
Mark calls that the NPR voice. This is my partner who was on the first episode, but who also is he's an editor too. He's an editor of video, but he also edits voice things every once in a while. And he can't stand NPR voice because it tends to go, and then it cuts, and you never hear the ums and you never hear the ers, but the end of one sentence goes into the beginning of the next, and it's much more fast-paced than when I was younger. NPR used to be kind of this slow, drawn-out, but it was still no ums, no ers, no buts, or, you know, no I like that because it makes you keep thinking. They don't pause. I mean, they do in real life, but they don't. So it keeps you engaged with the program. I don't know what the actual point of them cutting that out is.
Right.
But I like that it keeps you... It doesn't give your mind a chance to do an So I don't know. I'm kind of a fan of that.
At least on Twitter last night, her speech that she gave to the guys seemed to get high marks. She said, what did she say? She said, I might not speak say the wrong things. You said right at the beginning of our recording here that you thought she was more authentic because she seems to not have a layer between what we're seeing and how she really is. And I think people saw that in her speech there.
Now, are you talking about when she comes back from rejecting Scott or from...
Maybe it was before that because it was like her toast.
Her toast, right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's fine. And when people come in and say, if anyone else is here for the wrong reasons, leave now. That after Scott thing, that's the show. you can't say that to people. That's a little overdone.
Let's end on the previews for the season. We talked about her I have sex, but Jesus still loves me thing. We can just kind of leave that where we left it. But it seemed to me that there's going to be some element of sex shaming going on. Yeah, you don't own me. It seemed like maybe somebody was trying to say they wanted her to be a virgin. See, it was very tantalizing of what this could be about. Now, of course, we don't want anyone to be sex shamed, but it could lead to deep stuff that we get to talk about here on The Bachelor of Bastards.
Yeah, yeah. I'm excited for whatever that is. But it seemed to me that someone said that, you know, I want my wife to do this, or I don't think you should have done that in the past, but maybe not sex per se, but something right. maybe like, I don't know, tailgate, something that could lead to situations.
Yeah.
And she gets upset. And it sounds like they are criticizing one of her past, maybe a past story that she has. So yeah, it sounds really exciting. So she kisses Cam first, who is her pre-impression rose or whatever, the first rose she gave out. And she kissed Connor S., who I call the city bro. He's not who I thought she would go for. He seems too urban for her, you know, too like not in a good way, like a finance, like a Wall Street guy for her. And then right. she kisses Luke. So those are her three Blue kisses Luke. So far. Blue Luke. What? Who is the other Luke? Anyways, we'll find out.
Well,
he just didn't want to ruin his outfit to take off his jacket. He didn't want to stop the flow of color.
Yeah.
And then he's wearing a pink, you'd think this would bug you. He's wearing a blue suit with a purple kind of paisley tie and then a pink, like a handkerchief.
I just don't find guys fashion all. I mean, I like my fashion, but I would never wear a suit. So suits don't do anything for me.
There's a few guys that are dressed well. Like the first guy she gives a rose to, Mike, I like skinny ties if you have the right physique for it, which is, you know, tends to be tall and trimmer. Right. And if you have a skinny tie on and you're not that, then it looks a little bad. And then there's there was a white tuxedo look that I thought was cool.
Yeah, that was cool. He was half Vietnamese, half Iowa farm boy. But then,
No. That's another guy. That's Connor. He's wearing a maroon suit.
Oh, I thought he was wearing the white tuxedo.
No. This is Dylan. I don't know who he, I don't know what his background is, but this other guy, Connor, first off, a bachelorette party. Is not that's for when you're gonna get married. That was so off. And then he comes in speaking I do not like. I thought I would like him. I wanted to like him from the bio and from the pictures or whatever. You know, I don't know anything about him. But when he came on, I was immediately like, nope, don't like him. I wanted to. I tried. I don't like him at all. Do you like him?
I like the line, you're the bachelorette, let's have a bachelorette party. I thought that was on the side of being clever, but then actually executing it was...
Yeah.
You don't want to get the bachelorette sweaty on the first night.
I don't know. There was a lot wrong. But he was one of the ones they, you know, early on was picked as a... He got his own video, so that's something. Did not like him. Wanted to.
Let's cut it off here. Reach out and say hi, direct message, or at us. We love hearing from you. It makes it all worth it doing our not-for-profit, non-corporate, non-network podcast.
Our NGO.
Yes. We're doing this as a public service. Do we have any sort of drop to take us out?
Sure. You made me.
We have to figure out how to get the audio to play that it doesn't go away if we talk over it.
Maybe.
I'm not sure why it's doing that, but if we say something or laugh, the audio goes away.
Yeah, just for that 1 second. It's fine.
Yeah. Play it again, and then I'll fade it out.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.